Thanks for listening to the best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Game of Thrones is back. Season 8 returns. 6 weeks spectacular. Hour 2 edition. Outkick the Coverage on Mondays. I think we have audio to go with this, right, Danny G?
Yeah, we sure do.
Hey, stick to sports, guy. Stop bitching. We'll get right back to sports in a few minutes.
This is different.
Right now it's Outkick the Thrones. A GOT recap. Call our studio lines now with your reaction and theories from around the country at 877-996-6369. That's 877-99-ON-FOX.
All right, here we go. I did an immediate 30-minute reaction to the show. I wrote 3,000 words that are up on my website, outkick.com. You go right there, you click right in the center of the screen, you can see 3,000 words from me that I stayed up last night and wrote before I went to bed. To me, there were several things that stood out as being potentially integral in last night's episode. First of all, for everybody out there who was like, oh, I wanted more glitz and glamour, I wanted more sizzle, I thought that really this was about catching up all of the characters with the knowledge that we already had as viewers. So, for instance, we knew that that Jon Snow was the product of Rhaegar Targaryen and Lyanna Stark. Like, we had put that together over the past couple of years, but Jon Snow did not know. We knew about the Ice Dragon, but everybody else doesn't necessarily know about the Ice Dragon. And so this was, I thought, a mirror image in many ways of Episode 1, Season 1. In fact, if you go back and watch the arrival of the Robert Baratheon and Cersei, many of the shots are almost identical in nature with the arrival of Daenerys and Jon Snow. This is about getting everybody, the band, back together again, kind of. You've got Tyrion, you've got Jon, you've got the Arya, Sansa, Theon is on his way now to Winterfell. Everybody who was there at the beginning, the Starks, and obviously at the end we saw Jaime arrive. Everybody pretty much who was there at the beginning of Episode 1 who is still alive, with the possible exception, I think, of Cersei, is all now at Winterfell. So this was about getting the band back together again. More so than it was anything else. There was lots of exposition, lots of background. I thought that everything was fine in this episode, except I don't know exactly what's going on with Daenerys' inability to understand that Jon is a Targaryen when he starts to ride the dragon. And ultimately, I think what's being set up right now is another test of loyalty for Jon Snow. Is he going to be more loyal to his Stark family or to the woman that he's now fallen in love with, Daenerys? And also, is Daenerys then, these are the two questions I think, is Daenerys going to be willing to give up the throne now that she understands Jon Snow potentially has a more legitimate claim on the throne than she does? All of those, I think, are the major questions going forward. The only thing I would say that was an incredible flaw from Season 8, Episode 1 was the bachelor date, the bachelor, if you watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, the dragon flying to the waterfall and the two of them being there and the whole conversation, it felt like they had just come in on a helicopter for a one-on-one date in The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, except the dialogue was even worse than it would have been on that television show. I expected for like a country music singer to come out from behind the waterfalls and start playing while there was a concert going on. That, I thought, was the only super awkward spot. We ended with an incredibly chilling moment with the kid basically being sacrificed. So those were my big takeaways. I want to bring in all the crew, and I want to get your biggest takeaway from Episode 1 of Season 8, Danny G.
Yeah, you're right. Let me start with that dragon ride. Cheesy. It reminded me of in the movie Tombstone when Wyatt Earp and Josephine took off on the horses, remember?
Yeah.
And then they wind up on a blanket. Same exact thing, but on dragons.
Riding the dragons, I definitely think everybody who tells me I'm a loser for watching this show is right. It's impossible to defend the riding of the dragons on like a group date, on a romantic trip.
And also, it was a pretty cool sequence until they got to the waterfalls.
Well, yeah, I thought they were going to hunt because that was exactly the implication, was like, oh, they're not eating very well. But then they just go on a dragon ride. And by the way, Bran Stark, I didn't even mention this, different levels of creepy for Bran Stark.
He's like a super creepy Walmart greeter.
How does he get around?
I don't know. And then, as much as Bran is creepy, Bronn is that much of a pimp. About to have that foursome, and then the hand tells him that one only has a year to live because she has the pox.
And his immediate response is,
which one?
Yeah, that was
so
a great
gangster.
Line.
My other takeaway was when Euron slept with Cersei's, and then he told her he was going to put a prince in that belly. The two questions I was left with, though, what did that fire symbol mean?
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of debate going on the internet. The first thing I thought was maybe it was a symbol, because we saw that in the first season.
Yes.
But still, nobody's answered the question of what it exactly means. And then also, what was that weapon that Arya wanted made by Gendry, besides wanting to hook up with him? She gave him the picture of that weapon. I'm curious to know what that's for.
I think that weapon was a spear.
Okay.
And I think she's thinking, because if you go back to the Night King when he just stood there and threw the spear, I think she's thinking that if she has a dragon stone spear, she can kill the ice dragon with it.
Yeah. And then lastly for me, I know your wife asked the same question. Do you have to be a Targaryen to ride a dragon if you're the Night King?
Yeah, we don't know.
Or is it just because it's a zombie, so all rules are off?
We don't know whether the Night King is a Stark or a Targaryen, or whether he might be like Jon Snow.
Coop told me when I got here this morning that in the book, supposedly he's one of the original Starks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Coop said that, I think, on the show on last week at one day. And we'll see exactly whether or not that ends up being true. Dub, what stood out to you?
Well, you mentioned it. Daenerys, obviously, maybe she does, but it doesn't seem like she knows that Jon Snow and her
are both Targaryen. And it seems like every
Targaryen.
Single evidence is flashing there that she should be aware of this, right? Because
And her dragon knows. I mean, when they're making out by the waterfall, the dragon is staring right at Jon Snow. And to me, it looked
awkward.
Like the dragon's like, I know who you are.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason, you know, we let you ride one of us. I know exactly who you are. You are a Targaryen. And Daenerys is the only one that doesn't know.
Yeah, that seems very questionable to me. Like, it seems as if she should know based on her powers of, you know, persuasion and understanding and comprehension so far in the show. This seems like a big blind spot for her not to think, oh, this guy is also able to ride a dragon, as ridiculous as riding the dragons may be. Do you also, when you watch the riding the dragon scene, did you also think, yeah, this is, like, people can definitely make fun of me for watching this show?
Yeah, it was a little corny for sure. Another thing that stood out to me this episode was Sansa versus Daenerys, because there's obviously some trust issues in Winterfell just in regards of Daenerys herself. And Sansa's kind of leading that charge in her, questionability of Daenerys and why Jon is loyal to her and where Jon's loyalty actually truly lies.
Yeah, and that's ultimately the one biggest challenge, I think, that you can see. There are two big challenges that I think you can see. One is Daenerys going to be willing to make the same decision that Jon Snow made? And two, is Jon going to be more loyal to Daenerys or to the Stark family? And I think that's what's being set up as the ultimate big decisions of season 8. What did you think about the symbol there at the end? What were we being told, with that fire symbol and that creepy kid, the poor kid who was sacrificed?
Well, that symbol has been featured in the show in the past. I remember in season 1, actually, it may be the first episode where they are in the forest and they see that exact same symbol made out of body parts. And then also in the cave drawings in Dragonstone, that, you know, circular pattern was featured in those cave drawings as well. So
but we
there's
don't
obviously
really know
some
exactly
history there.
What
yeah,
that
exactly.
means. We know it's existed before.
We have no idea exactly what it means. And then also, speaking of all the reunions, obviously all the Snows reuniting, I really enjoyed Arya and the Hound coming back face to face and what the Hound said to Arya. I thought that was one of the cooler moments of the episode.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, again, this was effectively about bringing everybody back together again, setting up kind of a reunion aspect. And we only have 5 episodes left now. So the criticism of last year, and we didn't even mention this, but Yara was saved by Theon. And I do think there was a big flashing plot point, which some people may have missed, but...
Oh, about the islands, right?
Yeah, Yara saying, hey, if Daenerys and those guys end up losing at Winterfell, then they can come to the Iron Islands, because, remember, so far it appears that the White Walkers can't cross water unless it's frozen water. Now, maybe their winter is advancing enough that even the Iron Islands could become cold, the water there on the ocean. But there's at least the possibility that that could be a kind of a big flashing light to let us know that maybe one of the final battles could be fought in the Iron Islands, because there's more protection offered there than there would be in Winterfell, where I think it's clear that there is an advancing kind of storm. The other thing I would say, and I don't know whether you guys buy in on this, I think that that Tyrion is also a Targaryen. And it's been hinted at a little bit that maybe his father was not Tywin Lannister. And in that case, there could be 3 heads of the dragon. Would be Jon, who's clearly a Targaryen, who is also alongside of Daenerys. And then to have Tyrion, and arguably if Tyrion were a Targaryen, he could potentially have the best claim to the throne of all. Because in his conversation with Davos, they made a bigger deal about their age. And Tyrion said, well, I'm not as old as you guys, but he would be the older brother compared to Daenerys and to Jon, right? That maybe there could be an angle there where Tyrion could end up being the person who has a claim on the Iron Throne as well. So there's a lot of different angles there. Eddie Garcia, when you just heard this entire conversation, what were your thoughts?
Eddie had the speakers turned down, and he told us to give him hand signals over here to.
All right,
when we're
so
ready.
So let's
for
go
him.
To get an update from Eddie, and when we come back, calls that we want to take here.
We got Rich in Ohio is on hold, but yeah, if you want to weigh in, give us a call here, and we'll get your thoughts on last night's episode.
All right, 877-996-6369. Double field your calls, but first, Eddie Garcia, what you got for us?
Well, of course, the big story is at golf at the Masters, where Tiger Woods shot a final round 70 to win his first major since 2008 and his first victory at the Masters since 2005. Finished 1 stroke better than 3 other players for his 5th green jacket. It's his 15th major, but his first when trailing entering the final round. At 43 years old, he's the 2nd oldest Masters champ to Jack Nicklaus. He now trails the Golden Bear by 3 in the race for the most majors all time. In the NBA playoffs, we had 4 series opening games. Rockets beat the Jazz 122-90. James Harden, 29 points, 10 assists for Houston. It was the Bucks beating the Pistons easily 121-86. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 24 points and 17 rebounds for Milwaukee. Trailblazers get by the Thunder 104-99. Damian Lillard had 30 points in the win for Portland. It was the Celtics grinding one out against the Pacers 84-74. Kyrie Irving, 20 points for Boston. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Golden Knights beat the Sharks 6-3. Vegas leads the series 2-1. Jets over the Blues 6-3. St. Louis, though, still holds the 2-1 edge in the series. Blue Jackets over the Lightning 3-1. Columbus now leads that series 3-0. And the Islanders down the Penguins 4-1. New York with a 3-0 series advantage. Online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit True Car and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. We'll be back to Outkick the Coverage in 10 seconds, but first, a word from Farmers.
At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Now back to Clay Travis and the Geico Outkick the Coverage Studios.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios here. Car shopping can be confused. Did I already do this? Did I already do the read there? I think I already did the read there.
You're good. Well, and I just wanted to explain the reason why Eddie is over there in a capsule is because he doesn't want this to be spoiled, because he's going to watch the show later.
No. I remember that he said he hadn't caught up at all yet.
He's got a lot of hours to watch, though. He has to watch from the beginning.
Yeah, no, that is that makes a lot of sense. All right, so anything else that that we need to be on top of in that episode before we go to start taking calls? 877-996-6369. Danny G, you can also reach out, by the way, if you can't get in on the phone, you can reach out on Twitter. I'm at Clay Travis. Anything else that we are missing?
I think... Samwell, how about his character? I don't think you touched on that.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned that he told, we finally found out about who Jon Snow's parents are, which, again, so much of this episode was about catching up the characters with all of the knowledge that we already have. So this is a little bit of a tricky spot from a narrative perspective, because we've been following all these individual characters until this point, and we know more about them collectively as a viewer than the characters themselves do. And so we've known for a while, at least if you've been paying very aggressive attention, what Jon Snow's parenting situation is, but he hasn't known. And so this was having Sam reveal to him was a significant moment. And again, I think we may have undersold Jaime returning and confronting Bran for the first time since season one.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. From season one.
Yeah, Jaime is like the Tiger Woods of this
Tiger Woods. I mean, it is. He's redemptive. And I mean, honestly, we've been watching this show for a long time, but this is the first time that Arya and Jon Snow have been in the same place since the very beginning season one, right? And so the remaining Stark kids who have survived, you know, you got Robb Stark who's gone, Catelyn Stark, the mom, and Ned Stark are all gone. Rickon, who didn't have that long of a life to begin with and not very much of a role really in the show. But you've got Sansa, you've got Arya, you've got Jon, and you've got Bran, the half of the Starks that are still alive, all reuniting. And then we've got the Lannisters, with the exception of Cersei, all coming back as well. This was a very much of a mirroring show image of what happened in season one. All right, go ahead and toss them out. Who do you want? What order you want to go here, Dub? You filled the calls.
Yeah, we got Rich in Ohio up first.
Rich in Ohio. What's shaking, my man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
We're doing well. What's your breakdown here?
Clyde.
I'm here! I'm always here! Assume that I am going to be on the radio for 3 hours from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern every morning. If you are a caller, I'm here. I'm never leaving. For the rest of your life, I will be on the radio. You don't have to assume that I'm not here. Just talk. Damn it, talk. I swear to God. Do people think, just hang up on this guy. Do people think that I'm not here? Do you think, just use your brains. Do you think that suddenly you are alone on a national radio show and that I have just left and that you now are by yourself nationwide carrying a show? Or do you think that maybe I'm here like I'm always here, like I always will be here? Just talk, damn it. That's all I need from a caller. Talk. Speak. Say what you will. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about how I'm doing. Don't worry about how my weekend was. Don't worry how I feel. Your role is simple here. It is to speak. That's all we need. We don't need a lot of interplay. I appreciate the fact that you care how I'm doing. I appreciate if you want to offer me a good morning. We don't need it at all. All we need is, boom, you hit your point. It's like me making a pass to you in a fast break. You've got a wide open layup. Just shoot the damn ball. You don't see the guy, when he gets the pass, stop and be like, hey, that was a really good pass. I'm glad that you saw me streaking down the court wide open. Hey, let me give you a little bit of daps here. Hey, man, hey, good pass. No, shoot the damn ball. Score. You got plenty of time. You can turn around and thank me afterwards. When Klay Thompson found Steph Curry running down the court wide open in the NBA playoffs. And he was like, damn, Steph's going to get a wide open three here. I'm going to hit him. Steph got the pass. He didn't stop and be like, hey, Klay Thompson, thanks. Hey, I'm glad you saw me coming down the court without anybody on me. That was really great of you to see me. How are you doing today? No, he catches the ball and he shoots. And then afterwards, he can give him dab. Like, hey, good pass. Good look, man. You can reach back out to me on Twitter and be like, hey, thanks for having me on. Hey, I loved the show. All of those things can take place afterwards. They don't take place before the conversation actually begins. All right, Dub. First of all, are the phones working? Do we have any idea what happened there? All I want is for people to speak when spoken to. When we come back, 877-996-6369, we will go to calls. Here is what I want from you if we are going to continue to take calls on this show. Because I can just cancel out, like Cersei when she blew up the everybody in King's Landing, including Marjorie Tyrell, maybe the best-looking person naked on the show. Just blew her right up. I got to tell you, I don't ever have to take another phone call. The show is thriving. I'm trying to give you an assist every now and then and let you guys enjoy the feeling of draining a jumper or getting a dunk or getting a layup in the open court. Frankly, most of you can't handle that. So I'm just going to keep gunning. I'm going to come down. I'm not going to pass the ball. I'm going to put on a show, and I'll just keep scoring. I can do that. I can also be a point guard who distributes. But I can be a point guard who guns. I can be D. Rose back in the day. I can be Russell Westbrook when he's actually making shots. I can do all that. But I try to be friendly. I try to pass the basketball, just like I tell my kids to do when I'm coaching 7- and 8-year-olds. But I'm going to be honest with y'all. Some of you don't even listen as well as my 7- and 8-year-olds do. You can't actually speak when spoken to. It's disappointing.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm here! I'm always here! Assume that I am going to be on the radio for 3 hours! 1997 music in honor of Tiger Woods' first Masters win, also in honor of the year I graduated from high school. I don't know that we've ever topped 1997 music. Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios, trying to take calls. All right, Dub, who's next?
Let's try this again. Phil in Tennessee.
Phil in Tennessee, just go.
Hey, guys, after the episode, I'm really excited, thinking, you know, when Tyrion and Bronn come face-to-face, is he going to pull the trigger? Is he going to kill him with the crossbow? I'm just wondering what y'all think. Part of me is like, there's no way he'll do it. But I never thought Ned Stark would die either. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. Now, that was a perfect call. That was a perfect call. Well delivered. Phil in Tennessee making plays. It's a great point of the episode. I don't think Bronn will do it either. Cersei is trying to hire Bronn to kill both Jaime and Tyrion with the same crossbow that Tyrion killed Tywin Lannister with. I don't think he'll do it, but Bronn is so far proven that all he cares about is the almighty dollar. But I think he cares about his relationship with both Jaime and Tyrion both. And so, no, I do not think he will do it. All right, next call.
Mike in Modesto.
Clay, I think your thought on John, what he will do, was answered in the previous episodes. He told Theon, you don't have to choose. You are a Stark and you are a Greyjoy. He'll take the same approach as a Targaryen and a Stark and be faithful to both houses. Plus, his character is always to do the right thing. That tells us, because she's pregnant, they will marry and be king and queen, dragon king and dragon queen. And my prediction is they'll split all the responsibilities of the other kingdoms at the very end. That's what I think, Clay. Thank you for the time.
Yeah, thanks for the call. That's far too happily ever after for Game of Thrones. One of them is going to die. Maybe both of them. Jon and Daenerys is my belief. There's no way that's going to be like, oh, and then they lived happily ever after and ruled the kingdom and nothing bad ever happened again. That works in some shows. It ain't going to work in Game of Thrones. Who's up next? Rob in South Florida. What you got for me?
Hey, guys. Good morning. So I think everyone here is underestimating the importance of the Jon and Daenerys flying the dragon. Sansa asked a really good question that Jon never had to answer. Did you do this for the North or for love? And if we didn't see that dragon, that would be up in the air. So they need to have the establishment of their love, the struggle of who's going to give up control for the other one to have the actual claim to throne.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I think we already know that they're in love, though. I didn't need to see a medley, Bachelor in Paradise style, of them flying around on dragons and awkwardly, you know, hugging and kissing while the dragon looks on in order to know that they're in love. That's the tension that's being set up right now in season 8. Is Jon going to pick his loyalty to the woman he loves, Daenerys, or his loyalty to his family, represented by Sansa and Arya and Bran, the Stark family? Although now we know that he's also got to be loyal, theoretically, to the Targaryens. Who's up next?
Keith in Georgia.
Keith, what you got for me?
All right, so I think that now that Sam knows that Daenerys has killed his father and brother, that he could end up being the one that does Daenerys in.
How old is Keith? Keith, how old are you?
I am 14.
When did your parents let you start watching Game of Thrones?
When I was about 11.
All right. Thanks for the call. That's aggressive. Aggressive parenting, because I'm thinking, I've got an 11-year-old too, and I'd like to bring him into Game of Thrones at some point, but I think they're too young. First of all, good call. How about the fact that Keith, who is 14 years old, can call in and be flawless as a caller, and all you adults out there can't do it? Props to Keith. I think Keith raised an interesting point about Sam, because Sam is pointing out he's going to be a pretty strong advocate, I think, that Jon needs to be the king of all the kingdoms, and he's making a distinction. He's saying, hey, you would not have killed my brother and my father as she did for refusing to bend the knee, just like you didn't kill everybody who was a wildling for refusing to bend the knee to you. And so I think Sam could be a really integral part of this show as we go forward, because he's one of Jon's most trusted friends, and I think Jon values his counsel very much. All right, who we got next?
All right, last one, David in L.A.
David in L.A., what's shaking, man?
What's going on, bro? Just to add to your Tyrion thing, remember in the sixth season when he went inside and was able to actually touch the dragon?
Yes.
That was kind of a clue. And then also when he shot his dad said, oh, I can't prove you're not my son.
Yeah, thank you for the call. I think that that is something that a lot of people have not picked up on, is the possibility that Tyrion is not actually a Lannister. And if you go back and reread, you know, the books or watch the show carefully, there are lots of signs. He mentions it when he walks up and is able to talk and touch the dragon. There's a clear indication there that he's a Targaryen. And then if you go back and watch the killing scene with Tywin, he says something like, you're no son of mine, as if he questions whether or not Tyrion is ever actually a Lannister. I think he is a Targaryen and a product of a out-of-marriage relationship there.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.